Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn to Psalms 146, if you want to follow along. The 146th Psalm. I still want to say chapter 146. I do. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. I like that song. I like that song. If you want to look, you don't have to do it now, of course. The last five psalms from 146 to 150 start with the same four words, and they end with the same four words. And those four words are here, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's the first and the last statement in these last five psalms. It's important to praise God. It's more important than we know. And it's definitely more important than the world will ever know. Let everything, in the last verse of Psalms 150, before it says, praise ye the Lord, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's lost and saved. That's unrepentant and repentant. Everyone should praise the Lord. They do not, but everyone should. In our preaching of Jesus Christ, that is what we are endeavoring to do. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the Lord Jesus Christ. When we preach his person and his work, it is for the purposes of praising him. And if we miss that, we kind of missed it. But here I want to bring towards you, if I can, a little exposition on verses 7 and verses 8. And I want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ while I do it. Because what I see here in these two verses, and that, well, actually at the end, verse 6 and into verse 9, but I'm going to basically talk about verses 7 and 8, you'll see the work of the Lord. That's what you see. Understand? The psalmist is very plain. It doesn't say who wrote this. It doesn't say who wrote the last five. But the psalmist is very plain. This is the work of the Lord. It's not the work of men. It's not the work of a man, and it never has been the work of a man, and it's still not the work of a man. Verse 7, I'm trying not to keep you too long. Oh, Paul, the title of this is, The Lord Loves the Righteous. The Lord loves the righteous. That's where I'm headed. But he starts with, the Lord executes judgment for the oppressed. Now, I don't know any better example of this to look to than the Israelites, the congregation of Israel in Egypt. Folks, they were oppressed. They were literally slaves to the Egyptians who oppressed them beyond measure. And when God sent Moses to talk to Pharaoh and say, hey, let my people go and worship. That's all they asked for. One of the things Pharaoh told him, he says, well, if you got enough time to worship, I think you're going to have to make bricks without straw. That's a prime ingredient of bricks. I've never made them, but I understand the principle. I watch the History Channel. I've seen people make bricks. You're going to make bricks without... These people were oppressed. They were beaten down. They had no freedom. They had no rights. And there in that land of Egypt, they had absolutely no power. But the Lord executed judgment against Egypt for Israel. The Lord executed judgment against Egypt and against Pharaoh. You know, one of those houses where one of the firstborn died was Pharaoh's own house. He executed judgment against the Egyptians because the Lord removed the oppression from his chosen people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, like Paul wrote it in the place, led captivity captive. And gave gifts to men. Gave gifts to men. And when did he do that? Wrote, when he ascended, he led captivity captive. And he gave gifts to men. The Lord executes judgment for the oppressed. Second, the Lord gives food to the hungry. Now you understand, Walter had been talking about it. He fed the Israelites in the wilderness. What was it, Walter? Quails at one time. Quails, and it isn't just a few quails. Not one for everybody. What? Quails covered the camp. You understand? There were quails as far as the eye could see, a day's walk away, in whatever direction you went. And it said something about 2 cubits high. You had to clean out around your tent so you could walk around. Quails as far as the eye could see, and also manna from heaven every day. Every day, except the Sabbath day. But you got twice as much on Friday for Saturday. Every day, except the Sabbath day, what? For 40 years, while they were in the wilderness, he fed them. The Lord feeds the hungry. So what did Jesus Christ say? Talking about manna from heaven. This is John 6, verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. Jesus Christ said these words, I am the living bread. The living bread. What? Which came down from heaven. that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, not only will he not die, he's going to live forever. He's going to live forever. Now he goes on over to verse 55. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, for I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, here's the point, dwelleth in me. Dwelleth in me. And I, more importantly, I in him. Understand, folks? Now I know what it read like, and I know what the Jews thought. This man's going to give us his flesh to eat? No, it's not what he's talking about. He's talking about dwelling in you. Dwelling in you. What is it Paul wrote in Colossians 1 and verse 27? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here's the mystery, Christ in you. Christ in you. He's our food. He is our life. He has given us life. And he continues to be our sustenance. By him, all things consist. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is our food. The Lord feeds the hungry. What's he say? He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, what's going to happen to him? They're going to be filled. They're going to be filled. Well, I said it a few weeks ago. God fills empty vessels. God fills empty vessels. And it doesn't matter what was in that vessel before it was empty. He's going to put in you what he wants in you. And you will no longer hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're going to be filled. You're going to be filled. The next thing he says, the psalmist writes, the Lord looses the prisoners. There's no bondage too strong for the Lord. Period. Just put a period right there. Doesn't matter what the bondage is. There's no bondage too strong for the Lord. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes you free. He makes you free. Who's he make free? All that the Father gave him. Every single one. What? Them I'll raise up at the last day. What about the bondage of sin? What about it? What about it? He came. The angel told Joseph, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from what? Their sins. Their sin. And their sins. What about death from sin? Oh, don't worry about death, beloved. He's got the keys to hell and death. He's got the keys. You understand? Nobody dies. Not a sparrow falls. Not one sparrow falls without my Father. You think a person dies without God knowing it? And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He's got the keys to hell and death. He's got the keys. Oh my. And what's it say about sin and death. Romans 8:2 says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He that liveth and believeth in me," Christ said, "shall never die." And if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Indeed. Because there's no chains he can't break. And there's no will of man that can stop his divine will and purpose and power and work. Verse 8 starts this way, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind." And if you want to leave that phrase out, or that's in italics, you just go right ahead and it says, "The Lord openeth the blind." I kind of like that a little better. Because you understand, he doesn't just open your eyes. He opens your ears and he gives you a new heart. He opens the blind. Now, while he was on this earth, preaching and teaching, he opened blind eyes. A little bit everywhere. More than once. And actually, there's one account given where he opened the eyes of a man blind from birth. And they said at that time, when they were talking about it, it's never been done before. There's nothing in the scriptures about anybody healing a man who had been blind from birth and being opened. Oh, I know. I know. But the Lord Jesus Christ did. And the Lord Jesus Christ still does. He opens the blind. What's it say? "But if our gospel be hid," it's hid to them that are lost. What? "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Oh my. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." See, it's not only our eyes that are blinded naturally and as we are born. It's our mind that's blinded. It's our whole being. Depravity is total. You understand? Depravity is total. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. Now, I know some people want to argue with that their baby doesn't lie. They're wrong. Okay? Now, they can be wrong through ignorance. They can be wrong through self-deceit, and they can be wrong through just lying. But it doesn't matter. The Scripture's true, and every man's a liar. Yeah. We were brought forth speaking lies. You never have to teach a child normally to lie. You usually have to teach them to tell the truth. Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you that Jesus Christ will open every blind person, every blind eye. Because he told us sometimes he didn't. You know why he spoke in parables, right? That seeing they see not. And hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. He spoke in parables so that some would not understand. Now, that's a hard thing for some people to swallow. Don't believe it. But he said it. And he actually meant what he said. No, he always meant what he said. I have a hard time talking with people about, if I talk with people about the scriptures in times past, and they'd say, "Well, he didn't actually mean that." No, he said it. And when he said it, he meant it. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Because at the end of that thing about parables, you know what he said? But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears that they hear. Not everyone does. Not everyone does. And here's the point. No one will see until Jesus Christ, the Lord, opens the blind. No one. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to who? Those that are lost. I can't open your eyes. I can't open anything other than a jar of pickles for my wife. I have no power. I have no power. You know, I want to see sinners saved, but I have no power to save sinners. You understand? This is the Lord's work. This is the Lord's work. It's not my work. It's His work. He opens the blind. And here's the other thing. When He opens the blind, they see. They see. They see. You understand? If Christ opens your eyes, opens your ears, opens your heart, you will see Him. Him. What happened to that man who was blind from birth? Christ met him again after he came out from the Pharisees and the rulers of the tabernacle. And he said, what happened? Well, you know, the guy said, well, they kicked me out. And he asked him, do you believe on the Son of God? He says, I don't know who he is. Jesus Christ said, it's me. The one that stands before you. The one that opened you is the one that reveals himself to you. Oh, there is no salvation without the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will, you may not do it all the time, you may not do it very well, but you will give him the glory. Why? Because it's his. It's the Lord's work. He opens the eyes of the blind. He opens the blind. And they see. Guaranteed. They see. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Why? He opened them. He opened them. The next thing says, the Lord raises them that are bowed down. He raises the poor from the dust. To sit with princes and feed at his table. He feeds the hungry. He raises the beggar from the dunghill. Why? To sit with princes and feed at his table. Isn't that nice? Isn't that glorious? Oh, yeah. Isn't that grace? Grace? Because you understand, it doesn't say anything about the poor or the beggar petitioning him for anything. He didn't say that he's asking him, can I sit at your table? No, he just says he lifts the poor out of the dust. He lifts the beggar from the dunghill to sit them at his table. Just like Mephibosheth. He wasn't looking to eat at David's table. David, the king, was looking for him to sit him at his table. And you know what? The king ordered Mephibosheth to sit at his table and to eat. And don't complain about it. Mephibosheth said, I am not worthy. And David, the king, said, I know that. We're not worthy either. And believe me, folks, Christ knows it. But He wants us at His table. Why? Because the Lord feeds the hungry. And if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you hunger for the Word of God, He'll see to it somehow, some way, you get filled. Mm. Here's the last thing. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord loves the righteous. Now somebody might say, wait a minute. You guys, myself included, keep saying we're unrighteous. That there's none righteous. No, not one. Aren't you glad when people do pay attention to what you say sometimes? Because that is exactly true. There is none righteous. No, not one. And God loves the righteous. That's also true. That's also true. But I didn't say God loves you. I said God loves the righteous. I didn't say God loves man. I said God loves the righteous. Who is the righteous? Who is the righteous? My little children, these things I write unto you, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. What's his name? Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. The righteous. Wait a minute. God loves the righteous. There's the righteous right there. There's the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous, has given his sheep his robe of righteousness. Yes, God does love believers in Christ. In Christ. Why? In Christ, we are righteous. Remember, God will by no means acquit the wicked. He will by no means acquit, forget, pass over the guilty. But in Jesus Christ, we are not guilty. We are righteous as His Son. And in His Son, God does love us. We're not righteous in and of ourselves. No. Never have been. Because here's the thing. In and of yourself, you are not righteous. And if you believe, you are righteous in Christ Jesus at the same time. There is an old man and there is a new man. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord loves His Son. This is my well-beloved Son.